possible. I want to thank our four outside advocates for taking time out of their busy schedule to come join us tonight to debate. And I also want to thank you, the members of the Pitt and the Pittsburgh community, for coming out to participate as audience members. Thank you very much. This Monday, over 20 very well-suited attorneys gathered in the chambers of U.S. Federal District Court Judge Robert Sindrich's courtroom. They met there to debate and discuss a topic very similar to the one that we gathered here tonight to debate, the issue of police accountability. On Monday, as Judge Sindrich approached the bench, he looked out at the crowd and he said, "There are so many lawyers in this room, it looks like an American Bar Association convention." When I first heard Judge Sindrich's comments, I chuckled. But as I wondered about it, I thought a little bit more that maybe there was a little more to it than just a witty one-liner. As the discussion about police accountability becomes more and more legalistic, there is a danger that public deliberation about the role of police in Pittsburgh will be washed away in a sea of lawyers' briefs, inundated by an ebbing tide of suits and countersuits. The issue of the Citizen Police Review Board meets this question of expertise head on. The issue ultimately pivots around the question of who should decide where to draw the boundary line separating legitimate from excessive police force. Tonight, we are pursuing this question in a unique debate format that mixes policymakers with students, experts with citizens. At the William Pitt Debating Union, one of our goals is to sponsor, promote, and amplify debates that feature this sort of interaction. One of the things that we firmly believe in is that in order to adequately defend an argument, one first must frame it in relation to the other's viewpoint. But before one can do this, it is first necessary to understand opposing viewpoints. We hope that what occurs tonight is a dialogue that begins to deepen public understanding on both sides of the issue, not to settle the CRB debate once and for all, but to spark an ongoing and productive dialogue and to promote mutual understanding on both sides. Before I discuss the format for tonight's debate, I want to mention a conversation that I had earlier this week with Harry Lillard. He's a disabled veteran living in Bethel Park. Mr. Lillard phoned me and told me a story about his sister who had been beaten up by the police several years ago. Mr. Lillard said that he wanted to come to the debate tonight to ask a question to Marshall Hines. But I also talked with Amy Branch. She's a student at Point Park College who lives in East Liberty. Several years ago, Amy and her sister also had a negative experience with the police. But this experience has not made her completely anti-police, and she still has serious reservations about the Citizen Review Board. She believes that citizens that serve on a CRB should be adequately qualified to judge police behavior. So she may have some important questions to ask Sally Levine, Billy Heilman, and Joe Panzino, the affirmative advocates for a CRB in tonight's debate. We believe that this kind of direct citizen involvement is precisely what the university should pursue and promote. And we're very glad to offer a forum in which citizens like Mr. Leller and this branch can present their questions in an open public forum. We also want to improve our ability to put on public forums like this one in the future. So if you have feedback or suggestions for future topics of debate, or if you'd like to get more directly involved with William Pitt Debating Union as an active member or a contact, please pick up and fill out one of the information sheets available on the outside table right outside this room. As a preface to the discussion of the format, I wanted to point out that in preparing for this debate, we've been studying public comment on the CRB for months. And one thing that has stood out in our research is the prominence of testimonials and personal experiences in previous public forums. Council member Udine's hearings on the CRB were dominated by folks who came out to tell their stories about the police, both good and bad. These personal experiences are powerful, and they are crucial components of the public discussion. Tonight, we have reserved time for folks to share their personal experiences, have them recorded on videotape, and have them included in the complete transcript of the debate. The time for this will start after the conclusion of the debate, when we'll run two video cameras and have an opportunity for audience members to share such testimonials. The reason why we want to mark off a separate time for storytelling is to enhance the pace and the focus of audience questions to the debaters during the debate. If audience members can limit their questions to 60 seconds during the question and answer period, we can maximize the number of voices that are included in the discussion, as well as explore the points raised by the advocate in more depth and more detail. The format for the debate proceeds along three stages. In the first stage, there will be opening speeches and questions from a panel of students that are involved in the William Pitt Debating Union. Each of these students have been researching the CRB issue for months, and they also participated as advocates themselves in previous public debate that we held on the CRB last month. They are from left, my left to right, Chris Flynn Carter, Chris Bobak, and Jesse Richmond. In the second stage of the debate, we'll open up the floor for questions from audience members, and we'll spend roughly 30 to 45 minutes on that stage of the debate. Questions from the audience should be roughly 60 seconds long, and we'll allow a two-minute reply from the debaters that can answer the question. In the third stage of the debate, we will have three-minute closing arguments presented by each debater and following roughly the same rotation that we followed in the first stage. Now I'd like to introduce the participants in tonight's debate. On the affirmative side, first we have Joe Panzino, a senior majoring in communication at the University of Pittsburgh. To his right, we have Billy Heilman, who is the assistant treasurer for Citizens for Police Accountability. He did a lot of the research behind the petition calling for the establishment of the Citizen Review Board. And to his right, we have Sal Ludeen, Pittsburgh City Council member and member of District 6 in Pittsburgh City Council. Mr. Ludeen drafted legislation in the City Council calling for an establishment of a Citizen Review Board. On the negative, we have, first of all, in the middle, Dan Honorato. He is a member of Pittsburgh City Council, District 1. Mr. Honorato voted against the CRB proposal in City Council. To his right, we have Marshal Smokey Hines, the president of the Fraternal Order of Police, Fort Pitt Lodge, number 1. And finally, over to the left, Bianca Huff, sophomore, majoring in communication at the University of Pittsburgh. Now I'm pleased to turn the floor over to Joe Panzino, senior at the University of Pittsburgh, for the opening speech in the debate. Welcome, Joe Panzino.
Thank you. Thank you, Gordon. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening. And I want to express my thanks for coming out here tonight to take part in this most important debate. I will be advocating the affirmative position for a Citizens Review Board. In recent times, discussion of consent decrees submitted by the Justice Department and an increased visibility of police violence has left police reforms as being one of the more significant issues to face the Pittsburgh area in recent years. Tonight, you'll hear a number of very impassioned arguments on both sides of the fence, truly from individuals who believe strongly in their particular points of view. As you consider these arguments, I'd ask that you listen for a number of things. First, which of these things move us closer to improving relations between community and law enforcement here in Pittsburgh? Second, what safeguards will be employed by those actions that protect the civil rights of all parties involved, regardless of their color, regardless of whether they're a policeman or a citizen? And what will move us towards sparing us the additional and unnecessary violence that often spills over into our streets? Recently, Commander McNeely proposed a number of changes, which we certainly applaud. There were certainly efforts in the right direction. However, we feel that these changes have not gone far enough. In addition, we only see those as still in the discussion stage at this point. We see a consent decree having been filed by the Justice Department in federal court. We feel, too, that this is a very strong step in the right direction, but perhaps is still not going far enough. We want a citizen's voice central to determining appropriate guidelines for law enforcement in the Pittsburgh area. Police reform is not a new issue in Pittsburgh. It seems to arise every decade once the public becomes so frustrated with mounting abuses that it demands reforms. We need permanent, formal, structural change that will last long after politicians and police commanders have retired and gone by. I don't feel a need to justify this idea of citizen review. All one need do is go through this room, and I'm sure there are hundreds of stories that will help convince us that it's truly a need. During council's hearings of last year, an overwhelming number of stories were presented regarding abuse, misconduct, and impunity on behalf of the police department. And during that time, we found that our opposition closed their ears to our pleas and closed their minds to a true sense of justice. In recent weeks, I've heard a number of arguments from the FOP regarding officers' rights. And I have to ask the question of the FOP this evening whether or not they've forgotten that they are in fact a collective bargaining unit for public service. We don't believe a union agreement should ever override an individual's civil rights. We also don't believe that excessive force and violence towards an innocent individual is a point for collective bargaining. We've heard an FOP argument regarding unsustained complaints remaining in police officers' files. We've heard discussion of anonymous complaints, hopefully not to be allowed in the process of review. But I'd submit to you that police routinely use tips and informants, soliciting them openly, that lead to investigations and arrests. And even when an individual is arrested, goes to trial, and is completely exonerated, the effort has cost them several thousands of dollars. The effort has also been considerably humiliating, and a police record remains behind by them. And these individuals have no union that can help out. We hear the FOP saying they want a different body of law to apply to the police than apply to citizens. When we filed petitions with almost 20,000 signatures, FOP slapped a lawsuit to invalidate 9,500 of them. When consent decree was filed in federal court, a lawsuit was immediately filed to dismiss the action. For those of you that don't know, this tactic is called slap suits. Police unions across the country have successfully used it when reforms were being addressed. The intent is to frustrate individuals and groups who speak up regarding situations of reform. The situation today, 10 officers have been suspended. That's less than 0.5% of the complaints received during the same time period. Eight of the 10 of those officers, complaints involve assault and excessive force. 6 are already back to work on technicalities through FOP representation. We believe the city needs a citizens review board. We find it interesting that the Constitution sought to place military under the guidance of an elected civilian official for the very same reasons that we're talking about the citizens review board here this evening. We need a citizens review board. Thank you very much.
Joe, if you could take a few minutes of questions from the student panel.
At the close of your speech, you said we need a civilian review board in order to have civilian oversight of the police. It might be possible to argue that the mayor and other civilian city employees provide that oversight. How do you deal with that argument?
Well, I think one of the important things for successful civilian review boards across the country has been autonomy, their detachment from the official structure that currently reviews police sorts of activities. So we're looking to go outside of that structure of OMI, the mayor's office, and the current city administration to put a citizens review board together.
In your speech, you mentioned slap suits taking place on the part of police unions. How will the civilian review board deal with problems such as those?
Well, citizens review boards, one of the most significant things to their effectiveness is the transparency that's created. It becomes very difficult to keep these kinds of things behind closed doors once the review process begins to take place. We're also proposing that the actions of the Citizens Review Board be open to what one might call the sunshine laws in the past.
How would board members be chosen for the Citizens Review Board, and how would we know that those members would be non-partial, would be unbiased?
Well, I think clearly picking the right people for the right job is the key here, but I mean, I have a structure that I have certainly not conferred with other members of the affirmative team, but I would envision a 4 to 5 citizen-type person group being nominated by city council, being reaffirmed by the mayor's office. I would also envision a citizens review board as including a representative of the FOP, as well as a representative of the police department, including the auditor that the federal government has just recommended it as a part of their consent decree.
Thanks very much, Jim. Please welcome opening the negative and the first speaker, Bianca Huff, a sophomore majoring in communications at the University of Pittsburgh.
Good afternoon. To begin with, I'd like to go over a few fine points that I'll address in my speech. Number one, I'll address that citizen review boards across this nation have not been effective. And number two, that citizens review board in Pittsburgh will not get the larger issue, which is that the police department itself must change because of its pattern of excessive force. Now, I may not agree with all the ideas that either side will express tonight. All I can say is that I personally believe that there should not be a citizens review board in the city of Pittsburgh. I don't think it'll deal with the issue of the use of excessive force as they are. Now, my own speech talks about a citizens review board across the nation and their ineffective nature. These problems can also be blamed on the police department itself, as it probably will be. I think that should have been a foreseen problem. Now, I think a lot of people are jumping on the bandwagon because they feel a lot of citizens are, because they feel it's the right thing to do. It must be good because it's against the police department. A citizens review board places us in the position of us against them. A CRB will be placing, what I found is that it's placing things back in the hands of city officials, and that it's not giving it to the citizens to deal with these problems with police brutality. It has the real potential to become another political machine, and I do not think the city of Pittsburgh needs another political machine. I'm asking you to listen to me not because I'm black or because I'm female. I'm asking you to listen to me because I'm a concerned citizen, and because I do not believe that there should be a citizens review board in Pittsburgh. Now, first, I'd like to go to the citizens review board in Washington, D.C. D.C.'s board has been in effect for 15 years, and the board is made up of 5 or 6 people, as Joe said. And it has a 700 case backlog right now. It's about the longest running in the nation. Now, this backlog, these people wait 15 years to have their complaints read, heard, and honestly, I'd be surprised if they could even remember after 15 years of complaints. Now, the board was finally abolished in 1995 by the D.C. Council itself. And I'd like to move on to the Philadelphia board. And actually, the city of Pittsburgh brought in the Philadelphia board. I guess nobody told them that out of 296 cases heard, only discipline was only recommended in 1 case. That's not even, there shouldn't be a board enacted to hear 1 case. Now, police officers could be honest, and the board may have not been needed, but I truly don't believe that, and I don't expect anybody else to believe that. There's also Charleston. Now, people, citizens fought for a board, and they got a board. They got a board who refused to disclose anything heard, any investigations, any findings on the investigations. They refused to disclose them to the citizens themselves. Now, this is a real possibility, considering the opposition to a board in Pittsburgh. And then there's San Francisco and New York. These are two places on two different sides of this nation. They are both the citizens are protesting in both cities. Citizens protesting their own boards. Why? Because in New York, they found a lot of corruption surrounding citizen review boards. They found, and we can also blame this on police officers, but I truly do not believe so, because I think these should have been enforcement problems. I think it was wasting money to have these boards in the first place. And then we have in San Francisco, where people are dissatisfied with the findings of their board. I think boards, citizens review board for Pittsburgh has been presented as a solution to all the problems. But it's only a solution to one police officer or two police officers being disciplined. It's not a solution to all our problems. A police department is just that. It's a department, a collective unit to share one mindset. A citizens review board will only allow you to seek investigation and possibly a few officers at a time, not addressing the real problem that with excessive force of excessive force and how it must be stopped in the police department. There has to be further education on part of police officers.
Questions from the student head?
Yes, Bianca, you spoke about the negative effects of CRP in other cities. There has never been a CRP in Pittsburgh, so how can you say that this would happen to Pittsburgh? And also, if there is no CRP, what would be an alternative solution?
Well, for the first part of your question, when we started researching this issue, I thought, okay, now where can I go to see how a CRP is run? Because I think that's the first thing you should do when you propose them. And I went and I researched and I saw that these things, these boards were ineffective in other parts of the nation. And for the second part, it's been proposed that we need further education. And I agree with this, but it's also an issue of the problem that needs to be addressed within the police department. It cannot be an us against them situation. And I think that's where CRB is hit.
In your research, did you find any civilian review boards which were working?
Yes, I did. I found out that the civilian review board in New Orleans was working. The problem with this is that New Orleans is so rocked with corruption that any institution that was put there would be better than what they were dealing with at the time. Now, I don't believe that Pittsburgh is so rocked with corruption that we need it.
You speak of these problems with the boards across the nation. Is it not likely that these problems are not inherent in the concept of a board, but just the way the board is set up or the way the board is run? And could not these problems be alleviated by Pittsburgh setting up the board to meet its own needs?
Well, honestly, I think the only way a citizens review board would work is in a utopian society, where this would be set up and this would help citizens and it would deter police brutality. But I don't believe we live in a utopian society. And I think we can think about it all we want to and we can suggest it to be shaped around the city of Pittsburgh, but the problem will work.
Thank you, Bianca. Please welcome the second affirmative speaker, Councilman Salo-Rini.
David, first of all, let me encourage us to peel away the artichoke leaves and get down to the core and focus in on what we're talking about, because this discussion can get so broad that we lose sight of what we're really talking about. When we focus in on the heart of what we're discussing, we're talking about a decision that this city has to make to decide how we, as a society, will elect to deal with citizen complaints against police misconduct. That is the issue. How will we deal with citizen complaints of police misconduct? Will we handle them and investigate them with an internal body controlled by the police? Or will they be investigated and handled by an independent external body of citizens? That's the whole discussion. That's it. And that's our decision. And don't let anybody clog and camouflage and obfuscate and confuse you with other issues and other misinformation called research. The history of this question goes back to a few decades ago when citizens' complaints were handled by an internal board of policemen, all policemen, called a trial board. That was objected to because it was too obvious, and then they tried to add some citizens to the trial board, and they came up with the Office of Professional Standards. It was a citizenized police trial board, but still internal to the police department and controlled by the police. After continued criticism of that process, now we have the Office of Municipal Investigation, still a police-controlled process of investigating your complaints against police misconduct. The long list of officers who have been placed back on duty, primarily through the efforts of the FOP. They don't care what an officer has done, almost. They'll put any officer back on duty. And that has been the problem. The police force has been unwilling or unable to police itself. But this has nothing to do with effective policing. We're talking about officers who oftentimes have been either convicted of something like some kind of devious sex offense, and the FOP gets them put back on, or drug dealing, and the FOP gets them put back on, or beating somebody to a pulp with their hands cuffed behind their back, and the FOP gets them back on. That's what we're talking about in many of these cases. It's not an officer energetically pursuing law enforcement. That's television. We're talking about assault and battery, criminal activity against you citizens. That is oftentimes the basis of citizens' complaints. And the FOP unconditionally, uncritically defends and puts them back. And when you try to act in your own interest, democratically, collect petitions to get it put on the ballot, conservatives on city council, vote down your right to have the issue put on ballot. Vote it down. You don't even have the right to put it on the ballot. And then when we get the petition, they slap suit, frivolous lawsuits, which they're going to lose, to try to prevent us from having it on the ballot. Why don't they want you to vote? Why don't they want you to vote on it? Ask them. Why don't they want you to vote on your own decision about how we as a society will handle our own citizens' complaints? Yes, we need to be fair. The Citizens Review Board needs to be qualified, just like any body of citizens. The Pittsburgh Human Relations Commission is composed of citizens. But before you place too high the standards and qualifications of the review board, check out the qualifications it takes to become a police officer. Do their qualifications have to be higher than the police officers? Somehow they've managed to figure out how to learn the law. It shouldn't be too hard for you to do so. I don't think you need more than a high school education to become a police officer. So it's not difficult. It's very simple. Keep your eye on the prize. Thank you.